This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. We just watched the Formula One 70th anniversary Grand Prix, and it met expectations of a 70th anniversary. It was fantastic. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio in Austin. Jonathan Green is off this week. Les Kaiser's joining me from his home. Jonathan, he's doing some work this weekend. Les is joining me from his home studio, and Dave O'Neill is with us this week. Well, boys, what do you think? Do you agree with me? Did this live up to the expectation?
Hey, I think it bode well for a 70th anniversary. We saw strategies play out. We saw fumbles come into play. I think it was a good example of what Formula One often is, and kind of the history, the failures, the wins. Cool seeing names pop back in from the past.
Yeah, I think that we had a great race, but we didn't have rain. We didn't have a bunch of yellow flags and crashes. We just had some really great racing, a lot of strategy involved. And so, yes, Max Verstappen wins. It was not a Mercedes car. The Mercedes car struggled today, a rare off day for the Mercedes car. So Max Verstappen really won this race by himself. Dave, you and I were talking before we came on air. You think that this was all Max Verstappen?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely got the front row seat when it comes to feeling the car. And you can put as many numbers as you want together and stats, which they did and they do. But he definitely got it right. They told him to slow down because it wasn't in the plan to do what he was doing. And that's never in Max's plan to slow down, I don't think. So, I think as well, the impressive part for me is that he did it on full tanks as well. So 106 kilos in the car. He did it at the start of the race, and then we looked to the end. There was some mighty fine strategies played there. Good game of chess, really. And at the end, you know, Hamilton tried to pull it back together, and they couldn't quite do it. And of course, they had no fuel in the car at that point as well. So the car was much lighter, therefore technically should have been quicker. But Max, yeah, he did a fantastic job, held himself together, went after people, got the job done when it came to overtaking. And his pit crew did a fantastic job putting his new rubber on and sending him out to do the job. So he did it for me today, Max, for sure.
Yeah, lights out from the beginning. He started great, started strong, and never looked back. And I loved his radio. He's 2 weeks in a row, he's being funny on the radio because he said, basically, he said, they asked him to slow down. He said, I'm not driving like my grandma. I'm going after this. And thank goodness for Max Verstappen, right? I mean, he's so great for the sport right now because we did not want to see another Mercedes 1-2, and Max Verstappen prevented that. And what about the tire strategy today? It was all over the place. I was excited to hear this before the race to see, you know, what people were going to do, but it was, the tire strategy from every different team was a little bit different, but Max really won this race, not only from his aggressive nature, But the choice on Saturday for him to start on the hard tire this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there wasn't a huge population on hard tires. Obviously, the majority of folks went on mediums. But starting on hard, you had Sainz, Raikkonen, Vettel, and Kvyat. Unfortunately, Vettel didn't handle the hard tire at the first lap the way Max did. I was really, really just heartbroken to see Vettel spin and immediately swift pass to the back.
Man, have the wheels just come off of Sebastian Vettel at Ferrari right now? It is an ugly situation. What did he say on the radio? He said, basically, you guys messed up, you know, on the radio. I mean, Dave, what do you think about Vettel, man? He's in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a yellow card. You know, you just don't do that when you're in the team. And you probably wouldn't even see any retaliation from the team, at least Ferrari for sure. They tend to do all their work behind the scenes when it comes to that. So, yeah, a little bit surprised for him. But I kind of know him a little bit. I guess all the meetings I've been in and listened to him talk. So it doesn't surprise me that he said that. He'll probably come out and apologise next week just to say it was the heat of the moment, for sure. He has to as well. But there you go. You know, he's human.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if you didn't get to see it at the very beginning of the race, I guess it was still first lap. He had a huge tank slapper right at the start and spun and almost took out multiple other cars when that happened. So it's like his race started bad and did not get any better. But speaking of Ferrari, his teammate had a pretty good race. Leclerc was looking pretty good. What do you think about Leclerc's race today, Les?
I liked it. He showed the confidence. He made good ground on, and he had some good battles going on. So I really like that, the way it played out. Leclerc, I think, is the future of Ferrari.
Yeah, Leclerc finished fourth. So let me just run down how the race ended up. It was Max Verstappen with his first win of the season and his ninth in his career. And Lewis Hamilton next, who was chasing Max but didn't have enough time left in the race. And then Valtteri Bottas, who really didn't have a great race, but ended up third on the podium. Then Leclerc, Alexander Albon, Lance Stroll, Nico Hülkenberg, the two Racing Point cars, and then Esteban Ocon, Lando Norris, and Daniel Kvyat wraps up the points positions, points for Kvyat. Then Gasly, then Vettel in 12th, Carlos Sainz, Ricciardo, Raikkonen, Grosjean, Giovinazzi, George Russell, Latifi, the two Williams cars at the back, and of course, Kevin Magnussen didn't finish the race. It's been so frenetic right at the end because it was right towards the end of the race. I haven't even seen what happened to Magnussen. Did either of you guys catch that?
I did not.
I've got a feeling he sustained some damage. I'm trying to recall who he had an altercation with. Someone was overtaking him. You might be able to remember.
That's right.
But I think maybe he did some damage. And then also we don't know what happened there. You know, if the cooler got blocked and the temperature started rising for the gearbox, sometimes it's best to pull the car in and do less damage when you're not in a points paying position, just for the following race. But one of the interesting bits for me is, this is going to go down in history, having all these Grand Prix lined up together week after week, is you would have thought someone like Mercedes, who had it together last weekend, won the race. All they had to do was sort out a few tyre issues and they should have gone out and done a 1-2 again. And it just shows how much work is done behind the scenes for other people to look back on their race and say, you know, we didn't do this right. We did that right. We should have qualified on these tyres and raced on these and et cetera. So for me, it's almost stretching the boundaries of perfection when you return to the same circuit. The only element, I guess, which changes is the weather, the ambient and the wind. Really interesting for me on that side.
Well, you know, in comparing last week to this week, I'm with you. Seems like there would have been a minor tweak because they're going to be on softer tires. But, you know, there wasn't one physical aspect that was mentioned earlier or that you mentioned about. They found something on one of the turns after last week's race that they finessed and groomed on the track surface itself so that it wouldn't cause issues. And it was suspect that it caused some of the issues last week. So I'd say that. But, you know, the minor tweak, I almost feel like they turned the knob the wrong direction from last week to this week to have Mercedes go through such a drastic change.
Yeah, I think what I was picking up from some of the commentary and also the driver feedback is that the tire pressures, as ever, are crucial. But in this particular point, they all seem to have been raising the tire pressures, therefore making the thing more of a pressure vessel, like a balloon effectively as well. And I think Mercedes quite possibly went too far by the sounds of it when it comes to pressures. Therefore, you know, the tyres started to delaminate and overheat too quickly. And I think that's one thing that Max seems to be king about is managing his temperatures.
You know,
it's with the heat from the brakes or whether it's not sliding the car as much or turning in earlier or later. Whichever he's doing is he's certainly getting the most out of the tires and playing dividends.
And he's done that a lot in his career. And you know, you're talking about what you just said, David, about Mercedes and the tires, is that I'm looking at my notes. Lap six, Mercedes was already on the radio to Bottas saying, hey, tire wear already, tire temperatures already. And that was only on lap six. So they... And I didn't hear anybody else talking about tire temperatures at the very beginning of the race. So, I mean, yeah, this could just be a rare mistake for the Mercedes team. And you, like you said, Toto Wolff did not look happy. But yeah, not only with the drivers, but with the team, with the tire pressures and everything. So I'm just looking through my notes early on. I looked at my notes and Bottas had noticeable wear strips as early as lap 12. And then what about when Hamilton was thinking about making this a one-stop race and going to the end? I mean, his tires looked, there were two major wear strips on the I think it was the left rear maybe. But there were two major strips on the tire, and then he was, the team radio was saying the tires are fine except for the wear strips. I was laughing out. I was like, really? The tires are fine? And then his response was, am I going to have another blowout? And so I couldn't even imagine that they were going to try to take that to the end. But yeah, that was just a complete meltdown from a technical standpoint for Mercedes, because I mean, we saw how fast they were. They were a full second, and have been all year, a full second ahead of everybody. And to not be able to keep the pace, it was just, it's just amazing that they weren't even close. But Les, what else struck you about today besides Mercedes tires and Max Verstappen's incredible win?
This was easy for me. Albon and Gasly had some great battles while they were near each other. You could tell Gasly was really reaching for all the performance he could. Albon knows that if he has many more performances like we've seen over the past couple of weeks against Gasly specifically, he might be looking for another seat. And my gosh, you hate to see him lose that, but he knows it's for real.
Yeah, I did see that battle. That was a good battle with Albon. And do you think that he did enough? Seems like we said this exact same thing last week. Did he do enough to, you know, to keep out of that hot seat? He finished fifth today.
I'm going to say he probably did. Is he free for a long time? You've got Gasly wrapping up in 11th, Albon in fifth. That was good, but, you know, it hasn't been great, I'm going to say. Albon has a few things going for him. His nationality within being in that company's seat is a plus for him. His skills, we've seen the way that Gasly can perform and has performed. He earned that spot to begin with in Red Bull a couple of years ago, and then was dethroned, if you will, by Alex. Performance, it's not over, Alex. Keep on charging, or you got somebody breathing down your neck.
All right, so right behind Albon, we had end of the race was Lance Stroll in sixth, Nico Hülkenberg in seventh. Great race for Hülkenberg, I suppose, just because, I mean, I know he ended up moving down, but I still, the fact that he's just so new back to the car. But what to me is what's interesting about where they finished sixth and seventh, that gives them 14 points for today's race, almost adding back the 15 that got taken away in the penalty. So, it goes back to what I was saying in the pre-show, is that it was worth it. It was worth it. If you can make up the points in one race that you got penalized, and we talk about the 400,000 euros is a drop in the bucket. Who even cares about that? But the fact that you can make up those 15 points, I know championship points are so, they're just so valuable, right? But the fact that a team, can make them up in one race, I think that's well worth it. But, let's go back to Leclerc. What do y'all think about his race? And, we've talked about Vettel's end up with his disastrous race for Ferrari. But what about Leclerc and his race today as far as doing what, ending up in fourth where Vettel can't even come close to, really not even the top 10 right now?
I think Leclerc, he drove a fantastic race today. You have to look at the difference between the two drivers and also the time delta as well. I think he got on with it. He got in the zone and he put his head down and did a team job today and got them some really good points. It's not going to be like this forever. Ferrari are going to recover, whether it's sooner or whether it's later, they will do. And they just need people that are going to play for the team when they're slow, when they're down. The interesting bit will be what kind of reception Sebastian's going to get when they go to Italy. I know there's no crowd there, but with the journalists and the reporting, I wonder how he's going to fare. So.
All right, guys. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll continue to break down the 70th anniversary Grand Prix. I want to look at the driver's standings after this because it's made a big change with Verstappen's win. You're listening to Speed City. Back up these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dainese leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk 1370.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, boys, think about this. After the British Grand Prix, Bottas was already 30 points behind Hamilton. After today, Verstappen is only 30 points behind Hamilton. So, what a difference one race can make. And I'm excited as I can be that Max Verstappen won today. And just looking at the driver standings. So obviously with Hamilton in the lead after Verstappen's win today. So 107 points for Lewis Hamilton, 77 for Verstappen, 73 for Bottas, Charles Leclerc, 45, Lando Norris, 38, Alexander Albon, 36, Stroll with 28, Sergio Perez, 22, Daniel Ricciardo, 20, Esteban Ocon with 16, and I don't expect Verstappen and Red Bull to be able to pull this off every week, but man, it was nice to see. And I don't know, I was thinking about the Ferrari points. You guys won't be shocked to think about this. This is Vettel's worst start since 2008 at Toro Rosso. Think about that. I mean, and you heard I didn't even bring up Vettel's name in the points because he's only got 10 points. So, but yeah, the driver standings look a lot shaken up today. And I think that, it bodes well that Mercedes can make a mistake or two and keep us all excited about the Formula One championship. But Les, what else from today's race? I mean, I know you love to watch Max Verstappen. You've said it many times, but moving down the grid, anything else excites you? You mentioned Albon earlier. What about any other points from today's race?
Verstappen, to me, interesting was ignoring kind of team suggestions. I don't know if that was as strong as an order, but ignoring that, his pace where he lost his lead in the pit, although briefly when he exited, he was back in place by less than a lap. I enjoyed seeing that head of steam out of Max and showing very well. When he came out and he was paired up with Bottas out of the pit lane, I love that combination of Bottas and Max together, to be quite honest. Bottas is a great guy to run into and great personality. Bottas always strikes me as the businessman, yet he's friendly, cordial, and serious, but not one of those guys that really puts his elbows out against the likes of Max. You don't see strong, aggressive driving, in my opinion, yet he still does really well. Cautious and methodical, I'll say. Dave, is that the way you team managers look at Bottas?
I think you probably hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, he doesn't get his arms out. I don't know whether it's kind of spatial awareness or understanding who's around him, but certainly he leaves the door open. And he's just not an aggressive person. You know, he's a racer, and I think once everything's clean and tidy around him, he's as fast as Hamilton. But when it comes to shutting the door, I just don't think he's quite got the aggression or the discipline, I guess is the proper word, the discipline to keep people behind him or make his car wider than other people like Hamilton and Verstappen have a natural ability to do. So, yeah, you're probably right there, Les.
Yeah, and I think Bottas, you know, he is that way in person, like you said, Les, but you can just see it in every interview. I mean, he's just a calm, steady force. But, hey, I want to ask you something, Dave, because last weekend, Grosjean swerved when he was being passed twice. Well, that happened today, and it looked like an instant replay when Hamilton, lap 46, when Hamilton was passing Leclerc right there towards the end of the race, Leclerc moved just like Grosjean. I mean, I know Grosjean gets a bad rap. He gets He gets a ton of abuse on social and everywhere else. What do you think about? Is there a double standard there?
I think, you know, it's just like anything in sport, isn't it? You know, if you get a name for going in hard, tackling as a defender, you can win most of them, and the odd one, you get. You're penalised for, but I think probably Grosjean definitely gets dealt a bad hand there. But between, I mean, Leclerc as well, you know, he does make these moves, but he doesn't hit people. You know, most of the time he's pretty clean with his moves. And also they might have, you know, he did make just one move, which you're allowed to do. You're allowed to make one move, and he did that, and it was very close. So,
yeah. Well, when I saw that today, it looks so much like the Grosjean move from last week. It's just almost identical. So I thought, hey, let's let's at least discuss that. But
another question for Gunther next week. Then yeah, hopefully if we can get him on.
Yeah. Hey, what about the radio? The team radio from both Hamilton and Bottas right towards the end of the race. It was to Bottas that was free to race, just don't hit each other, and Hamilton free to race, keep it clean. That didn't turn out to be a big battle. It looked like that Hamilton made quick work of that. But I was glad to hear that and say, hey, let, you know, instead of being super cautious, they were saying go after it. And Dave, you know, when you've had to make those calls, I guess you judge how you're going to phrase that depending on who's on the other end of the radio.
Yeah, well, I think it probably means something else. You know, there's probably another bit of code there from Mercedes, you know, you are free to race, but Lewis is definitely coming past you type thing. So keep it clean. But, I mean, you can see on the times as well, Bottas was, you know, Lewis had newer tyres. He had the potential of doing something. I mean, a bit unrealistic, but he still had the potential to do something four laps in. To the end of the race. But yeah, you kind of, most of that stuff is discussed beforehand. So you know that you're going to have to make a call. So you give out the warning shot first, just to make sure they know all bets are off. And then if someone's meant to give up a place, you get told once, twice, and then the third time the team principal will normally come on and give the order. So,
as we know, sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. Depending, Vettel's been on the
21 multi 21.
Yeah. Hey guys, we have a caller on the line. Let's welcome. Hey Larry, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. It was a heck of a race today. I got to confess, it was an unbelievable race. You know, in this modern era, when you see dicing like that and the different strategies play out, seemingly F1 has got it right. They really do have it right.
Yeah.
The question I have, and I don't know if it's due to, I just thought of this too. I don't know if it's due to the retirement of Adrian Newey. The Red Bull has traditionally been a high downforce chassis. Well, that would have been a serious liability there at Silverstone with its high speed. Is this a one-off by Red Bull, or if they changed their basic philosophy in chassis building to build less downforce into the chassis, because a high downforce chassis should have destroyed those tires.
Yeah, Dave, let's throw that one to you. What do you think?
Well, yeah, interesting question there. I think Newey still does play a part in it. He was definitely on the pit wall there today. Although he doesn't kind of design the car fully, he definitely has interests in certainly the aero surfaces. And why wouldn't you have someone with that much experience sticking their nose in and helping out? I think what we also have to do is give credit to Honda. You know, they've definitely played a part in pushing the horses in the power unit and the strategy and deployment with the battery power as well. I think an awful lot of hard work has gone into that part of it. And again, you know, we have to look at the drivers. This is definitely, are both drivers the same? No. Max is definitely, I would say, half a second quicker than Albon on the day. So Max, for me, today made the difference. For sure, they've probably got the car. The cars are probably the same. They have the budget to be able to put all the updates on both cars. So you don't have to choose one driver or the other. And again, they had 7 days to go away, come back and fine tune the car physically. And also with their strategies as well. So there's probably four elements that made the Red Bull today the race-winning car. That was the driver, the engine, and also the teamwork that went into it, and the strategy, the way the tyres were looked after. So I don't know if that answers your question. I don't think it's as easy as, you know, pinpointing what the difference is aero-wise. Most of the aero is down to a new front wing, and then from that you develop back from there. So I'd say they, you know, they have got it right. They're right on the crust of doing the business this year, I think, Red Bull. And if they had someone a little bit quicker in the car or brought Albon up to speed, they'd definitely be in the race for the top four every single race for
yeah.
me.
And thinking about, have you had a teammate that could help you? You know, how, we all know how important it is to have a teammate that can be up there with you, helping you and blocking and whatever else. So, hey, Larry, I know you're trucker and traveling. Where are you today?
Well, I'm a little place in middle of, well, it's extreme western Virginia, about the central part here. There's a pulp mill kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and and I'm sitting right now with some dead chicken in front of me, but I had to comment. I really did have to comment because if Red Bull with a traditional high downforce chassis, and it's clear it's not been getting the job done, and now that they have horsepower, you'd think they could push harder with a high downforce chassis because they have the power to push through the air and then the handling that goes with it. But a high-speed circuit, with the liability that a high downforce chassis would give you in eating tires, they had to have taken some downforce off that car, had to have. I don't think the laws of physics change because it's the 7th anniversary, and let's have an exciting one, boys. But they have done something with that car. Now, granted, Honda's stepped up. Honda's got it done. They're determined not to lose. They have the resources and the engineering talent to provide a top-flight power plant. It appears that that's done because, as they said on the broadcast, they won on pace. It wasn't through no strategy or shenanigans other than the choice of tires.
Yeah.
That car's capable.
Absolutely.
And that's what this sport really needs, is a capable automobile. And I think they have, if like you're saying, if they had somebody to help Max out, I think they've surpassed Mercedes. I mean, surpassed Ferrari.
Well,
Ferrari's the one that really is extremely troubling.
Yeah, it's rough. Larry, buddy, we appreciate it, but we're out of time. We got to go to the break. But thank you very much for your phone call. Great question, and I appreciate you tuning in and listening. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back after these messages. We got another caller on the line. We'll grab him when we come back.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Nice job, producer, finding that Max Verstappen. That's awesome. We thought, after today's race, I'm really glad because coming in today after last weekend, we thought that Lewis Hamilton was going to social distance himself out into the lead of the championship. But no, Max Verstappen has tightened it within 30 points. And we have a caller on the line that is going to give us a little breaking news because I just saw his Twitter feed talking about the Racing Point being summoned to the stewards. Andy P., welcome to the show, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you again.
You too. So what's going on? I just saw your tweet about the stewards calling the Racing Point team. What could it possibly be?
Well, it's definitely about the brake ducts, which is, you know, the story, I think, of this weekend, other than the race itself. So, I mean, where this is going to go, who knows? This is such a weird, complex thing. I've tried to dig into it a couple of different ways, and it almost reads like, if you look at each of the individual issues that the FIA was trying to address, it kind of sort of makes sense. But when you put it in perspective of the entire ruling, it almost counteracts itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is really, there's so many different ways to look at this. It is so complex. Dave, how would you respond to Andy's comment there?
I tend to agree from a spectator's point of view. It's just a bit too complicated. You need a red or a yellow card on this situation, really. And where it's going, I'm not quite sure, but there's definitely a fight on. You know, there hasn't been a ruling wrong or right on it. And I think it's just going to go on and on until someone finds a solution in the rules somewhere that can put it to bed. And certainly Stroll's not going to give up on it. So I don't know. I haven't got a real defined answer for it. I just think it is a mess, and it's something that we just don't need to see in Formula One. We saw the race today. That was fantastic. And that's what we want to see outside of the paddock is just racing, really.
Yeah, we want to see good racing. Well,
good racing, yeah.
Hey, well, Andy, what did you think of the race today, though?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was much more tense, I think, of an overall race watch, simply because you had a little bit much more unknown with all the tire issues going on. It wasn't the best from my team's perspective, but I mean, in terms of, I mean, hey, we finally saw what it took to finally defeat a Mercedes this year. So who's not happy about that other than, you know, the hardcore Merc fans?
Yeah, nobody's disappointed with that for sure. And I think that, you know, if we can see more Max Verstappen battling for wins, that's going to make everybody happy, no doubt. Well, Andy, what about your team, your McLaren boys? I know you're a big McLaren fan.
A bit of a tough day for them. I mean, Carlos was doing really, really well, kind of, I think, got all the way up to, I think, fourth place. And then they had a really strange slow pit stop that I haven't been able to quite figure out exactly what happened there. You know, Lando showed well, but I think the tire issues that were plaguing everybody else really plagued them as well. Couldn't necessarily push on his second stint. I think I just heard him say on another interview that was like the worst second stint of his life. So, you know, it was a frustrating day for them, but, you know, they did come away with points. That's always a positive. And hopefully, you know, I mean, I think overall as a team, I think the team is still projecting upwards and everything like that. I mean, they're going to come into that Mercedes power unit next year. So there's really good times ahead. I think just the heat of everything today kind of got them a little bit.
Yeah, that could easily be the case. But, well, Andy, thanks a lot for calling, buddy. Anything else you can think of before I let you go?
No, like I said, just good to talk to you. And on to the second of the triple headers.
There you go. Exactly. Back to back to back. Second time. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate the call.
All right. You have a good one.
Well, guys, I just want to mention, at least, apparently there's a big earthquake out in North Carolina, and I was sitting there mapping. I'm wondering, I don't know, I don't think it's, I think it's a 5.1, so I don't think it's, I haven't heard about people being injured or anything, but I wonder if that's close enough for the boys at Kannapolis at the Haas F1 headquarters over there in North Carolina to feel that one.
I looked up the same thing. It's about 95 miles away.
Oh, it's 95, yeah. All right, well, thinking of what else we saw in today's race, I know one of the things that struck me was, so last week Hamilton won on 3 tires, but this week he had 4 and only came in second. Maybe there's a strategy we can come up with there. But, hey, Les, I want to ask you about the Williams team, because did you see we talked about how well they had done, but looks like Russell and Latifi both had a pretty sad race because they both finished. They were the last 2 cars to finish other than Magnussen, who did not finish.
Yeah, you know, Latifi, you might even point at Magnussen because he had an unruly reentry to the track, which gave him a 5-second penalty in the end. So there's probably some interference there. I just, gosh, I want Williams to be higher in the ranks, but I don't know what's to do. And I don't know if it's fair to point at Claire Williams and pin so much of it on her. In a lot of the online discussions, you're seeing people point at her, and isn't it time that the daughter did something else? I really don't know. That's hard to appraise from my seat. Dave, what do you think? Is it fair? Is it unreasonable? What when somebody says that about Claire?
I think it's probably unreasonable, really. Knowing what she kind of does in the team, she doesn't really design the car. She's more of a figurehead, stands beside her dad effectively, and tries to emulate what he would like to do. It's a huge team, and you can't, just like anything, you know, you can't blame one person for it. It's a team effort. So, and also you can't get better that quickly as well. So from they're coming from the deep depths of despair last year. They have moved forward. They've got a really good driver with Russell in the car. Latifi, I don't know. Again, you know, he's there making up the numbers without being rude, bringing the cash, keeping people in jobs. So that's he's doing his job on that part. But I think that the team is making moves forward for sure. They've got a really good power unit in the back. So we know that that isn't a question. So I think it's all really down to tyre management, how they can put more downforce on the car, stick the car to the ground more, and then start using the tyres. And if you don't have the downforce, you can't use the tyres. And you see what people are doing who are using the tyres at the front of the field. I bet you the Williams tyres look brand new at the end of the race. I think she gets a bad press, honestly. She has to take it because that's her job. She's at the top. She's steering the ship. But I think it's within. And again, you know, for sure there's something wrong there. But also the other thing you've got to add to the mix as well, they just haven't got a bundle of cash to pull themselves out of problems. And we've seen what happens when you do. You know, you look at the Racing Point, they've got, I don't know, another 100 million is from the budget 2 years ago added to it, and it just drags you up the grid. So money is a really important ingredient, buys you downforce in most cases. And I guess they just have to see the bad times out, try and move forward even further.
Like you said, it's part of Latifi's, that's part of his role is bringing that money. He actually had it. It's funny, he's not looked, you know, like you said, not great all year, but he had a decent drive today. He was pretty much on Russell's pace throughout the race, and he crossed the line only 0.6 seconds behind him. So he was actually fifth fastest in terms of fastest lap, too, 0.2 seconds off Bottas. So
did Russell do a three stop and Lafitte a two?
Yeah, I don't know
how that played out.
Yeah, Latifi, no, they both did three stops, it looks like.
Did three.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a comment from Facebook on the video. Thanks, Sean, for following us there. He says, Vettel versus Ferrari seems to be heating up. Yeah, we heard that comment back back to the perch. It's somewhat out of character for a driver to say that back to the engineering group, but maybe not so much with Sebastian. But you throw that in with certainly a tumultuous situation right now. Is this cracking the door open more for Sebastian's exit? What do you think, Dave?
I think he's kicked the door open.
Kicked the door open, yeah. They did do that a few years ago when they got rid of Prost halfway through the season. So I don't think they've got any worries in showing anyone the door. The interesting bit would be who would jump in there. And you have to say, Giovinazzi's probably not in the position to do so. Maybe they have Kimi back for the rest of the year.
there you go. Good.
Yeah.
That would be good for everybody.
Good for everyone, yeah.
Hey, Dave, you were talking about... Oh, well, sorry, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think they'll stand for too much of that, and they don't need to stand for any of it. You know, it's all about the name, isn't it? The prancing horse. You have to think about the drivers from Ferrari, but you don't have to think about the team.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, what I was going to say is you were talking about the pit stops while ago for the Williams team. They both had three, which is only two other drivers had three. Ricciardo had three stops, and Hülkenberg had three stops. That's how Hülkenberg went from, I think he was in fifth and ended up at seventh after that stop. I think they had to stop for I think it was something to do with a tire requirement, maybe. Maybe they hadn't used a tire. But also want to point out that Leclerc only had one stop, finishing fourth, and Ocon only had one stop. And the only other driver, Ocon, who finished eighth. And then the only other driver who had one stop was Raikkonen. So, you know, there was so much discussion and strategy about stops. I thought everybody was going to have three stops and maybe some with four, but that's what I think that's what made today's race so exciting and strategic. So, hey guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break, but I think we have another caller on the line, so we'll get to you right after the break. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi guys, this is Pierre Gasly and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Yeah, that was Pierre Gasly bringing us back. He's had a good run of it lately. Hey, I want to thank everybody. We are not only broadcast on the radio, but we stream out on our social media. Our Twitter's not working today, but we're out on Facebook and YouTube. I want to thank everybody for tuning in there and making comments. But we have a caller on the line. We have a gentleman from Tennessee. Chris, how's it going, buddy? Oh, sorry, it's Eric. Eric from Tennessee.
Hello. I just wanted to say today was a really exciting race because Mercedes, you know, they were dominating so much every week that they just thought they were invincible, and the track and Mother Nature was like, whoa, wait a minute, no you're not. And so I think they were kind of humbled today with all the blistering issues, and just things weren't just working out like they are used to. And I really enjoyed, you know, Nico coming back. There was a lot of prestige in this, you know, 70th anniversary. And it was one car manufacturer that I miss, and I'm wondering if they'll ever come back, and that's Maserati.
Ah, Maserati. Huh. I don't see anything in the near future, but who the heck knows? I don't know for sure. But hey, have you been an F1 fan for a long time?
I have been an F1 fan for about the last 8 years. And I'm finding a lot more F1 fans now in the, what I call the NASCAR area in the United States. They're more falling in love with the open wheel F1 style of racing. And I'm finding more and more of my fellow fans here in the States that are just, they see a race, they see a couple of races, and they end up falling in love. And we, and there's several of us that play the game, the F1 game.
Oh yeah,
I'm not real good at it, but I try.
Well, you said 8 years. 8 years ago, that's when Circuit of the Americas opened. Was that a coincidence, or do you think that had something to do with it?
Nope, had nothing to do with it. It was just my little brother. He said, you know, you need to watch F1 because it seems to be, you know, getting more and more exciting. And at the time, I had owned a Mercedes AMG. So that's when I kind of fell in love with it. And I was living in Las Vegas, and I thought, wow, wouldn't that be cool if they came to Las Vegas?
Well, they've been there before, but well, I'm glad you enjoyed the race today, because it was a good race. It was a really good race, and it was not just, you know, not gimmicky at all. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I even got my mother hooked. So she was a Max fan today.
We're all nice. Max fans. Hey, well, thanks for tuning in, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate you you giving us a call and letting us know.
Absolutely, and I promise I won't be a stranger.
All right, Eric, thanks a lot.
All righty, Eric. Yeah.
Hey, Dave. During the break, you were bringing up a couple of points. Number one, constructors' points, and talking about how Racing Point would have been third after today.
Yes, I think the fight for the top three is definitely hot, and I can't see it sort of diluting anytime soon, really. You've got the Ferrari Racing Point and McLaren all in the hunt there, and all kind of doing the same job each weekend. We have to kind of work out why Hülkenberg got pulled in, whether it was strategic, whether he needed to... make sure Lance was in front of him or what it was, but we'll see. I'd like to see him in the car again for the next race. You know, I hope Perez gets better soon, but I'd also like to see Hülkenberg actually do something for his career.
Yeah, I know that is an exciting thing to add to the sport. I mean, just because everybody knew when he was not on the, you know, when he's not in the F1 field, that he deserves to be, probably. And he proved it once again this weekend. Man, fast and qualifying.
Guys, I've got the answer. So remember back in 2019, there was a brand that got involved in the power unit regulations and the technology that was going to come into the rules. Anybody remember what
Porsche
brand that was?
It was Porsche, wasn't it?
Good man.
Yeah.
Who better to come back in 2021, knowing they had a card in the game in development of the power regulations and the power unit capabilities, than Mr. Hülkenberg. How's that for a big splash? That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
I would love it. I was excited to hear that Porsche was even considering it. And man, you know, it does seem like a name that should be involved in Formula One. Absolutely. And I mean, let's face it, Porsche's not been, there's been times when they've struggled, right? We know that. And it's a lot of money to go to be involved in Formula One in any possible way. So I don't know. I'd love to see it though. But hey, Dave, you were talking about,
might be a brand I would cheer for.
Yeah, I would definitely cheer for him. Hey, Dave, you're talking about penalty points. I hadn't even thought about that recently. What was the, who's leading? Who's got the most penalty points this season?
I think in the lead is Lewis Hamilton with 6 points.
The lead.
followed by Vettel. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it has been neutralized. I think someone was up on 10 or 11 at the start of the season. So I think that was Vettel, if I'm correct in saying. So anyway, it's been reduced. So there's a little bit of safety margin there for those guys. But yes, 6 points halfway to a ban.
Hey, I want to talk about something that is American-centric, because there's an American moving up the ladder a little bit, and Logan Sargeant has now moved into first place in the FIA Formula 3 after his win at Silverstone yesterday. So, and I think I saw somebody tweet that this was the first time Yeah, I know what the tweet was. It was the first time the American national anthem had been played at a Grand Prix weekend since Alexander Rossi. Like, I don't remember what year it was, but Dave, what do you know about Logan Sargeant? I'm excited. I've got an email into his crew, and if he'll check his email, maybe he'll come on the show. But what do you think about Logan Sargeant?
Well, I think he's a promising young talent. He's the right weight to be the perfect weight for an F1 driver. He's 65 kilos. Height-wise, he's going to fit into the car, no problem. 181 centimeters.
That's such a Dave O'Neill stat right there. I love that. It's the right weight.
He's the right weight, yeah. So he's, you know, he's come from quite a distance. You know, 2019, he did the Formula 3 Championship. He finished 19th in that. He did the Macau Grand Prix, so Jonathan probably knows him quite well. Finished third in the World Cup there, and jumped into to this season, which he's definitely with a very good team. And to win at Silverstone, you have to be quick. You know, it's not like a Monaco race where a few people crash out and you come home and pick up the trophy. He's definitely quick, definitely a quick driver to be able to put that together at Silverstone. And then the rest of his career, he seems to been on the money. 2018, he was fourth in Formula Renault overall. 2017 in Formula 4, he was third, had some podiums. So he was there, and then he kind of started in single seaters back in halfway through 2016 and 2017, where he was out in the UAE in the championship there and finished second overall. And prior to that, he was in karting. So he's got a good pedigree. Now, you know, once you get into the Formula 3 and Formula 2, Formula 3, if you can win it the first time, first season out, that's definitely put you on the radar of the F1 teams. And then Formula 2, you know, you get 2 years there to win it effectively. But it's really exciting to have someone from the States being in the hunt in the last two steps to Formula 1. So all we have to do, I think, is, you know, give him as much support as we can over the social media platforms, and just will him all the way into a Formula One team.
Yeah, he's a 19-year-old from Boca Raton, Florida. So we will keep an eye on him. We'll try to get him on the show as well. Well, guys, we are out of time, man. It flew by. Great race. Wow. 70th anniversary. Appropriate win for Max Verstappen, and kept us all excited on the edge of our seat. I think I was... At about 10 laps left, I was like, this is done. Max Verstappen is going to win this. It was very exciting. Well, thanks, everybody, for calling in. Appreciate you, callers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And, of course, we will see you next Sunday. Check out our website to find out how to listen to the national show, speedcitybroadcast.com. Talk to you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.